Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we have the latest update on the United fiasco from last weekend, and an iconic restaurant in Southern California is making a comeback thanks to the community it is a part of.
You're planning your dream vacation, and it comes time to decide, do you buy cancellation protection or not? We're here to make you a smarter traveler and help you make that decision. At 320, Gwen Duncan joins us and gives us the rundown on travel insurance.
It's been an interesting week for United Airlines. At 3:35, Michelle Buckles from 92.5 The Bull, our sister station, shares her experiences as a flight attendant for United. A lively discussion is likely because Michelle's a great gal with some interesting stories.
Nick Valenzuela spent 2 months finding the best Instagrammable spots in California, and he's here to share them with us beginning at 3:50 today. And you can follow along by viewing all of his photos at travelguysradio.com.
A little rain is falling on our Easter parade in Northern California today, and that's why we're here to brighten your day and make you a smarter traveler. Happy Easter. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise. To Alaska. I go north to Rush Your Zone.
Happy Easter, everyone. You've got the Travel Guys at KFBK, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, all brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you've had a wonderful morning and a day. Mark, welcome to the program. How's your week been?
Thank you, sir. It has been a good week, a very good week. And it's spring. Everything is green in California, and so it's an excellent week, I would say. And I'm headed off to New York City here before too terribly long. And so little trip to Chicago next week first, though, for a little business. So off to Chicago, that toddling town. How about you, sir?
Been a good week. Spent some time with my friends from Cal Fire. Now, you might wonder, what is Cal Fire looking at in regards to a year after all that rain? You would think, well, gee, maybe there isn't going to be much of a fire season. But my friends at Cal Fire, I want everybody to know that with all this extra grass that you see growing on back and forth, that will turn into a brown grassy fuel before you know it. And with 102 million dead trees in our forests from one end of California to the other, this is, set up to again be, could be a rough fire season. So if you live in those areas, remember your defensible space that you want to clear out around your house and so forth. So anyway, I'm, as you can tell, I've been engrossed in the Cal Fire.
Yeah, we can make you a smarter traveler, but we can also maybe help you save your house.
Well, we're going to do our best. At any
rate, you are Mr. Disaster Guy. You've got the Cal Fire people. You're on the earthquake announcements. I hear you on the baseball games all the time.
And there you go.
You're all over the place. All right. Well, we best get rolling here and get on to the travel news.
As we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show. It's time for the Travel Guys Travel News, and boy, what a week it has been. Mark, what do you got for us today?
All righty, let's see here. Let's talk a little bit about convention news. First, the headline says, woman brings dog to furry convention thinking it's a gathering for pets. Did you know what a furry convention is, Tom?
Oh, wow. I mean, I would have thought.
Take a guess here.
I would have thought.
It's not nasty. It's not nasty.
And it's not pets.
No, it's not pets.
I don't
furries know. Furries are the people who wear the pet outfits. You know, the folks who try to get you to take their picture with them and stuff like that. Those are known as furries.
Oh, they call those people furries. I saw a bunch of those. Saw those in Vegas. This guy was the Wookiee, and they were whatever, and you take your
there
picture
with
there you
go. And sometimes they can be a little bit aggressive. But anyway, this lady she is from Michigan, and she went to a nearby town in Michigan. She thought that a furry convention was probably raising money for some sort of pet organization or something like that. She got there and found out that furries didn't have anything to do with her dog. Anyway, so if you see a furry convention and you're thinking about going, now you'll know what kind of people you're going to find there. Here's an interesting story. A restaurant has found in North Carolina that they have increased their sales by 50% after they did one single thing. What do you suppose that was?
Let's see, 50%. How about no tips?
No children under five.
Oh, boy. No children
under five. Our clientele has definitely increased, and we just encourage people to come and experience our restaurant more, says the restaurant's hostess to a local TV station. So, yeah, well, I don't want to, you know, tell people, but it's just interesting. Their business went way up since they got rid of the little ones. Of course, you could probably make an argument that a restaurant down the street probably said, hey, families welcome here, and their business went up because all the families went there. It's all about doing your homework, I guess.
There you
Uber go. Has a new secret software they apparently were using to track rival Lyft drivers. You know, some people, a lot of the people who drive for one drive for the other, and Uber doesn't particularly care for that, so they were trying to find out who was driving for both. They had this secret software called Hell, H-E-L-L, to track rival drivers. Apparently, they used that from 2014 to 2016. They have stopped using it now, but it kind of makes you wonder what these guys will do to get, you know, Tom, I have to tell you, I'm not using Uber anymore unless it's the only thing available. I'm hitting the Lyft button every time. The guy that runs the company there is kind of a clown, and they can't seem to stay out of their own way. So I'm moving on to the. I've become a Lyft guy.
You know, it's really interesting the way we make the decisions as to what business we're going to use so much nowadays because of social media and all the things that you can find out about the company and the people that run it. And you know, we always want to make sure that if we're going to give up our money, that we give it up to somebody that or a company that we feel good about. So, you know, there's the downfall of social media for companies that, get out there and say a little bit too much, Mr. Lyft Rider.
And on the other flip side is companies that do a good job perhaps are a little bit are disproportionately rewarded when they treat their customers well. New York City, I mentioned I'm heading there in a couple of weeks with some sports leisure travelers. We have a couple of new attractions opening in New York City this fall that might be of interest to you. One is a National Geographic experience in Times Square that you might have some interest in. And also there's going to be a thing called the NFL experience in Times Square. You can be a quarterback yourself. Of course, these thing experiences don't come cheap. They're about $40 a person, and we'll have when it gets closer to their opening in the fall. So if you're headed for New York City for the holidays, there may be some new things to do. We mentioned in the headlines that a community restaurant is making a comeback. We told you about the Anaheim White House a couple of times. In fact, Bruno, the owner of the restaurant, has been on our show as a guest. They do some incredible things in the Orange County community by feeding hundreds and hundreds of children every night, by helping to place homeless families into apartments and the like. The restaurant had a terrible fire and was destroyed a few months ago. Probably remember us mentioning that. They are holding a big fundraiser next Thursday. That's what Friends Are For, it's called, to help rebuild the Anaheim White House in Southern California. People in the community have responded on an Bruno said, tells me, on an unprecedented level. He said it's really grateful to see that the community wants us to return. So they are going to rebuild the restaurant, and the Anaheim White House will return. And it's interesting to know that those hundreds of kids that they fed every single night, even though their restaurant burnt down, they never missed a single night.
That's amazing. We need to have Bruno back on. I'm so pleased. That's a great story, Mark.
As soon as they get past their fundraiser and stuff and they get the restaurant start going, why, we will have him back again. You know, Tom, we tell folks on this program from time to time, we talk about timeshares, and we lament the fact that, of course, you and I each own one, and that hasn't always been a positive thing. I got a note on my computer last week. It says, have a timeshare to sell. Of course, we've mentioned to folks, be careful with this secondary timeshare people, because sometimes they'll get your money and not resell your timeshare. So I thought, well, this might be interesting. I will click on this. It says, have a timeshare to sell. We have the best solution. I clicked on it, and my computer, which is set very carefully here to make sure that it doesn't allow me to do anything awful, came up with a huge warning and said, this site is not someplace that you want to go.
Oh, boy.
So as an extra warning now to those of you who have a timeshare, and you want to sell it, if something pops up in your mailbox that says have a timeshare to sell, We have the best solution. And there's a picture of a mature couple on there holding a couple glasses of champagne in very elegant attire. Do not click on it. It is not a timeshare resale. And let us remind you that if you do have to, you do want to resell your timeshare, do your homework. Be careful. Don't give anybody any money until the timeshare is actually sold. If you are one of those folks who has a timeshare that is slowly draining your wallet. That would be us, I think, Mr. Romano.
So true. You know, however, I have for those that do have timeshares and so forth, the best advice I can give you if you're not looking at trying to get rid of it, either cash it in, book some dates, either give it to family members, but doggone it, start using it. I've got two trips this summer that I've taken advantage of them, and one of them actually was a bonus week that they offered up, which you usually are difficult to take advantage of because they have limited places and dates, but use it if you got it. Lose it or use it or lose it.
Absolutely. All right, one more quick travel story here. 8-year-old learns how to drive from YouTube, takes sister to McDonald's.
Oh, I heard this one. I love this story.
Yeah,
or I shouldn't love this story.
I guess it's kind of sort of cool and kind of sort of maybe not. But anyways, young man learned on YouTube how to drive his parents' automobile and got into it in the evening, took his sister down to get a hamburger at McDonald's. Neighbors saw them, called their parents, and got them home safely. So make sure that you keep the car keys away from even the young kids. Where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations? We have a group of folks headed up to Ironstone today for a perhaps slightly soggy Easter brunch, but they do a wonderful job up there. And that's the only thing that we have traveling on the road today, today at Sports Leisure Vacations. When we come back, Thomas, we are going to talk to Gwen Nunkin about the pros and cons of buying travel insurance, cancellation protection for your trips. And then, of course, later on, we've got Michelle joining us.
Don't miss this one. It's a good one. Great show ahead. Happy Easter. Keep with us. We are the Travel Guys. Well, look what you found on your radio when you were looking for a song or something. You found...
Or something.
Yeah. The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And with us, one of our favorites with Cordially Yours Travel, it's Gwen Nunkin joining us again. Gwen, Mark, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, Tom, the summer's coming up. A lot of people are planning vacations. It's, I think, incredibly important to plan for catastrophe. If you are somebody who is going to travel, you're spending a lot of money on it. The internet is full of people, Gwen, who bought an expensive vacation package. They were in good health. The people traveling with them were in good health. Certainly, Susie and John are going to get married, and nothing could possibly happen. And then one of those things happen, and these people find that suddenly they're stuck with this travel package that they have no use for or that they don't want to go. You know, there's no wedding. So we are here today to emphasize to people the importance of at least considering insurance when you travel.
Yes, and a lot of people, that's the last thing they think of. And what I have to do is ask the clients, how much are you willing to lose?
Wow.
You have to ask them that because a lot of people are doing international travel as an example, but it can even be local. A lot of people think about their own health, but they don't think about their mother-in-law or somebody who is ill. If it's an immediate family member, then that could interrupt your trip too. You have to look at that.
Each company is different, whether they include things like a pre-existing condition. This is really important.
Yes.
Explain why a pre-existing condition is important.
Well, it's really important because if you've gone to the doctor for an existing condition and they've given you some guidelines on what to do to take care of yourself, and you have that pre-existing condition, you're buying your trip, then you have to, the date that you make your initial payment, whether it's a deposit or a full payment at the time of booking, it will include a pre-existing, which is really good. But if you wait until last second after 30 days or so, then you can't get the pre-existing. And then that means if anything happens to you and they can prove, and they will look, They'll prove that you have gone to the doctor, you didn't tell them about it, you weren't following the doctor's orders, all different kind of reasons. They all have different rules. Then you won't get paid back for your trip.
So it's important to know whether your coverage includes pre-existing conditions. In other words, you had a heart attack a year ago and you have a heart condition. You have another heart attack. If your policy doesn't cover pre-existing conditions, you're screwed.
That's right.
If you have something that's ongoing, or someone in your immediate family has something that's ongoing, then the pre-existing condition clause becomes very important. Tell us, what are a couple of other things people should look for in cancellation protection?
Well, in cancellation protection, well, when you're initially buying your insurance, the biggest confusion, both with the people selling the insurance and the people buying it, they don't really know what they're buying. And so you can get cancellation insurance, which is pre-departure. Mm-hmm. That'll ensure your trip should you not be able to go. But once you've departed, it doesn't cover your medical, it doesn't cover baggage, it doesn't cover any of those things. And then the post-departure, which many of those policies do cover the cancellation, those will cover medical evacuation, anything happens with your family, or what after you have departed, and it will cover the date of departure on. These are all valuable things to know. One thing that I had interesting happen was somebody called me, and they were about to cancel their trip, and they had insurance, but they have their family member was a dog, and insurance will not cover.
Oh, you mean...
Will not cover for an animal.
You mean emotional support animals are not covered by...
No, I thought I'd throw that in because I've had several questions about that.
I appreciate that. And Gwen, so when you've determined whether or not somebody really can afford to have catastrophe strike them, really cancellation protection generally costs what, 7-8%?
Yes.
Of the total cost of your trip. So if you are taking that trip of a lifetime, or you really couldn't afford, and the other thing is that occasionally, this happens so rarely, never happened to me in 37 years in business, it'll happen someday. You get overseas, somebody has a bad accident, now they have to get home. And they've got plaster of Paris all over their body and all kinds of things, and they cannot, there's no way for them to be able to handle
home.
That. Yeah.
Well, this is what happens. I'm going to use an example because my husband and I went over and it was fine. He had a gout attack so bad we had to go to a hospital in Paris. They took care of him, and because we had what was called primary insurance, everything was covered. If you have secondary insurance, you have to pay. Then you come home and you keep all your receipts,
right,
then you have to go through all
back.
That stuff. So there's a big deal about that. But if you're overseas, you can have medical evacuation and all that if you're insured. If you're insured. And if you're not, then you're screwed. And if you've got like Blue Cross Blue Shield or something, that's not used over there.
If you break your leg, Tom, and you've got it in a cast and you need to come home, well, you're not going to be able to fly in one airplane seat.
That's right.
So now you're going to need probably three seats because your leg's probably going to have to be put up across a row of seats, and you're going to have to buy those seats.
Insurance also will cover your companion for like lodging or something if you're extending your
trip.
In
many cases, if there's a death or a serious illness, a close member of your family, and every insurance policy is different in what they define as close. The important fact, bottom line here is that if you're traveling to someplace, you need to consider cancellation protection, and just know that the landscape is littered with people who thought that they didn't need it, and then when something happened, they went screaming to the travel company or the person who sold them the product and said, well, surely they will let me have my money back for this, and surely the answer 99% of the time is no.
Now, you're going to hear advertisements about cancel for any reason. And that always sounds good. You can wake up with a bad hair day and you can leave. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can't, or you decide you don't want to go, or anything could happen. It doesn't have to be medical. But the problem with that one, and you have to understand that, is the most that you'll get paid is 50 to 75% of what you paid for your trip.
And frequently, most of that comes in the form of a voucher or a
credit for a future trip.
When you see that cancel for any reason, be careful, because it probably means that you will pay a higher premium and your refund won't all be in cash. Gwen, real quickly here before we let you go, obviously everybody's talking about the whole situation that happened with United Airlines. You're a retail travel agent. Have any of your customers come to you this week with saying, you know, I don't want to fly United, or has anybody changed their travel plans?
Actually, no one's changed their travel plans, but they have asked me questions, and they wanted to know because they had, in fact, my agents have called and said that they purchased the airfare from a consolidator. How is that going to affect my client if they're denied boarding? Mm-hmm. And so, the answer to that is that you're given the the value of the ticket as you had paid for it, nothing more.
Right. Same thing if you used miles or something
like that. Same thing with miles.
So even if you're a miles person, you can negotiate that same. They need the seat. And the other thing is, yes, especially in that situation in Louisville, people like you or I, we would have had a field day.
Oh, yes.
As we saw that they weren't going to get that. And if I didn't have to be in Louisville the next morning, I would have gotten the maximum amount out of them. And I think what's going to happen now is a lot more people, Tom, are going to be a little more educated about what might happen if they have. So really, that man did everybody a huge favor, because now I think people are going to be more aware of what their rights are and what amount of money that they could get in that
situation. I looked up a statistic you might find interesting. In 2015, 46,000 people were involuntarily deported in the United States.
Yes.
505,000 voluntarily mm-hmm. bumped themselves.
So as you can see, more than for every person who has to be told you cannot fly, at least 10 took the offer from the airline.
Yes.
And I will suggest to you at least 9 of them took an offer that was lower than what they could have gotten if
yes.
they had just held out for a little bit longer.
Yes.
Gwen Duncan, cordially yours, Travel. Thank you for your contribution to the Travel Guys. You can find a link to Gwen's services at travelguysradio.com.
Thank you.
Coming up after the KFBK news next, flight attendant Michelle Buckles, former DJ, now a DJ. It's kind of confusing, but it's very entertaining. The dramas, the trials and tribulations of a flight attendant, next on The Travel Guys.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Once again, happy Easter, everyone. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we've been promising throughout the week, we have, well, one of my buddies from across the hall here at our radio station, Michelle Buckles, middays for B92.5, formerly B92.5. Now it is
92.5 The Bull.
92.5 The Bull.
Heck yeah.
And we got to talking about travel. Michelle loves to travel, and she told me that in between radio gigs, she became a flight attendant. Tell us a little bit about that, Michelle.
I did. I just wanted to travel so bad. And it was one of those things, like right after college, a lot of my friends were like, I'm going to go backpacking in Europe. And my parents were like, no, you have to have a job. So I was like, well, what better way to see the world and do a little bit of traveling? So I did that for like 2 years.
Not to mention the fact that radio doesn't pay all that well.
No, well, compared to a flight attendant, I'm practically rich right now. So, and that's really not saying much.
So when you decided to become a flight attendant, what was the first step that you took?
Well, it's funny because I just like to do things that scare me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know anything about flying or traveling in general. I just knew I wanted to get out there and see the world. And I actually was kind of scared to fly. I had a little bit of a fear for flying. So I remember going to my interview in turbulence and I was like holding the seat. I'm like, do I really want to do this? But I did. So I worked for the regional carrier for about a year, and then I worked for United Mainline.
Ah, and how long were you with the airline?
About a year each. So 2 years total.
Okay, 2 years total. And now you're back doing your radio gig. But when you were a flight attendant, you must have run into some interesting situations. And before we get into your personal history, everybody everywhere, every place I go, everybody wants to know, what do you think about United pulling the guy off the flight? You worked for Republic, which
yeah.
was the airline involved here, the United carrier that was involved in this whole thing, 70-passenger airplane. Have you ever had a situation like that where the passengers are already seated on the plane and they came on
yeah.
and said, somebody has to go?
Yeah, I don't think it's that uncommon, which is why I couldn't understand why people were just losing their minds over this.
I've never seen it on the plane.
Oh, I have, especially for a crew member. Like if the inbound flight's coming in late
uh-huh.
and they're like, okay, well, they're probably not going to make it, but they ended up making it for whatever. Maybe there was delayed paperwork.
Uh-huh.
Then they're like, okay, so the crew is here. They need on this plane. They're must ride. It's a deadhead. They're going to wherever, you know? So I was baffled by this whole thing.
Does the airline understand how awful that looks to the people who were scheduled to go on the flight? You've got to put your employees on. So four of us have to be incredibly inconvenienced in order to make that? I mean, I understand, you know, otherwise the plane doesn't go the next morning. But right. It seems like that somebody would be thinking a little bit more ahead of the game than that, perhaps.
You think so, but I always tell people how it's not unusual to overbook a plane. That's just like standard practice.
No, that's
practice.
Exactly. Yeah. That is very standard practice.
But at the same time, the thing, and you brought it up, the thing that has upset most people wasn't the fact that the guy got bumped, but who he got bumped for. Because they don't really make the equation that
these
are pilots and flight attendants and so forth that have a job to do and that they do have priority. And it's all there in the small print,
In my opinion, they should have never let those people on the plane. I mean, if they were four over. And the other thing was, why didn't they offer them the full amount that they could have offered them? I mean,
right.
I know it's standard practice to offer funny money and vouchers, whatever, because a lot of those are never redeemed. If they had gotten on the plane and said, we are willing to offer you $1,350, which is what they could have offered,
right.
in cash, or, you know, a negotiable instrument. You don't have to be funny money. And your transportation tomorrow.
See,
it seems like they would have gotten four volunteers.
I have to wonder.
If they'd added $500 more to it, I firmly believe that out of 70 people, people would have gotten off the plane. Three people got off
right.
willingly at 800. United, they lost $800 million off their stock cap.
Isn't that crazy?
On Monday. So to save $2,000, they lost $800 million. Do you ever have anything like that happen on
a
plane?
I mean, not to this extent, because usually, like, when you buy your ticket, you're signing that fine print that whatever a crew member does, like, you're going to listen to. And, like, most people comply. So weird when he left and then he decided to come back. I think that's when it got really bad.
Incredibly weird. Anyways, back to Michelle's career as a flight attendant. Tell us about a situation or two, something that happened on a plane that was totally unexpected
I've said, from day one, people walk into an airport and lose their mind. That's just what happens.
Yeah. Check your mind at the gate.
Yes, they literally do. They just lose their minds. So I'll remember once working first class from LaGuardia. I cannot say the senator's name, but I saw a senator picking his nose. Couldn't make it up. It was an empty flight. I'm like, I can see you from my galley, straight up picking his nose. Like, just some of the things I have seen. It's like, I don't know.
Our special guest, by the way, Michelle Buckles, former flight attendant, now middays with B92.5 The Bull. Michelle, what, in your experience as a flight attendant, what were the top three to five things that annoyed you most about passengers?
My number one thing is just people handing me trash all the time, especially like when you're doing the beverage service and people are like, can you throw this away? I'm like, no, I'm dealing with food right now. Like, no, I'm not taking your trash. People just like treat flight attendants like they're some kind of a servant. And I'm like, no, actually, you'd be surprised. The training's pretty thorough. And we're actually here to save your butt, not kiss it. Like, come on. I mean,
that's about as well put as I think maybe that should go into the safety demonstration. But you're right. The main purpose of flight attendants on a plane is to make sure that your safety is that first of all, you're as safe as you can be. You're buckled up and you're obeying whatever rules. And then if there is a problem, an emergency in the sky, that there is somebody there who knows how to handle it.
Yeah, for sure.
And generally, flight attendants generally get very good marks for their conduct in emergency situations. What kind of training did you have to go through?
Training is really thorough. I mean, CPR, we learn how to use a defibrillator. I mean, you're evacuating an airplane in smoke into a raft in water. I mean, it's when I signed up for this, I was like, whoa, is this kind of a reality show? Because a lot of people don't even pass it. Like, my classmates were dropping like flies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It felt like a reality show.
So a lot of people get into flight attending thinking that
it's going to be really easy.
A day in the park.
Yeah.
And it doesn't turn out that necessarily the training is a little tougher, and a lot of people decide not so much.
Especially, I mean, you're away from your family for over a month. This is like 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, some of the people who do have children and stuff, people left their jobs, and then they're like, this is too much.
What was the toughest part of the training, would you say?
I mean, I would say literally I'm not good at tests, and you would be surprised. They're kind of hard. Mm-hmm. You got to know real information.
So, my goodness, not real information.
Real information, let me tell you.
Tom, when the plane's on fire in the sky, why then it's, you know, you got to know what you're doing.
I wasn't expecting like all like the aviation lingo. Like I said, I didn't know anything about airplanes until I went into it. And then I came out being like the biggest aviation geek you've ever met.
Okay, so we mentioned the Mile High Club, which has to do mostly with passengers. So what about, you're a flight attendant, you're a very nice looking young lady. How did that all work with other flight attendants, pilots?
Like,
is it all one big Cheyenne social club, or is there
some degree of, I would say with the mainline, it was a little bit different, but with United Express, when I worked there, like, yeah, it was like a big frat party all the time. And I was even kind of surprised, like, there was that bottle to throttle rule, and then like there were times where those pilots are really kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of partying a little bit late there, really, really pushing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is kind of like seeing the ins and outs. I'm like, huh.
You mentioned that you worked for the express wing for one of the feeder carriers for about a year and then got to the main line. That's a fairly quick progression.
Yeah, and well, the turnover rate's actually pretty very, very quick in those regional airlines.
Okay.
But
so biggest benefit, the flying benefits?
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit was just getting out there. I hadn't traveled much before, and I just feel like I learned more than anything I could have learned anywhere else about the world and people.
What was your favorite little out-of-the-way layover place?
Just super random. Like, Bangor, Maine was super cool. Just, like, some of those little places.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, I just look back at it so fondly, and I'm like, I just been to all these places that my friends are like, I'm sorry, where? Cedar Rapids, Iowa? What? Like, you know, just all these random places.
Yeah, but you
places.
Know all of these things about, I mean, you know about loose meat sandwiches, and you know about, you know, the bear hunters in Maine. And I mean, these are, people who live in Cedar Rapids are very different from people who live in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. And are very different from people who live in Bangor.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, one of the joys of getting to all of these places is getting to meet those people and learning a little bit about how they live. And that helps me understand a little bit how they think.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All of that kind of jazz.
Totally agree.
So you liked Bangor, Maine, huh?
Yeah, like oddly enough, that's one of the really cool places that I remember going to like a little diner there, and it was just like 10 feet of snow, and I'm like walking there and I'm like, oh, this is my job. This is cool.
Now, you're a broadcaster, and of course we know that in some ways flight attendants have the opportunity to be broadcasters when they get on the microphone to do announcements. Did you get a chance to do any of that?
I mean, I think that if I worked for Southwest, that's where you get, like, people get to sing and stuff.
Yeah.
But United is like, yeah, no, we're not playing that game. Like, you're probably not going to see singing flight attendants or anything out there.
And you know what? When you get on a Southwest plane, the atmosphere on the airplane is different.
Oh, yeah.
Than it is on any other plane.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to suggest to you that it is the freedom is giving your people a little bit of freedom to be creative and fun. And I've twice been on a Southwest plane where a penguin has walked down the aisle. It's never happened on a United plane yet.
Oh, I believe it.
So it's because Southwest people are a little more creative, and the boss doesn't say, you know, you have to stay within this tiny little narrow thing. And I get it. There's safety and stuff involved, but it seems like that sometimes in the sky, if we all just exhaled a little bit, why it would be a lot more civilized.
Yeah, well, I went to interview at Southwest, actually.
Ah.
And so I ended up getting the job, and then that was when I said no, and that's when I came back to radio. So it was like I had this choice. Do I go to Southwest? Because people don't realize that the reserve time at United Airlines to work on a mainline aircraft is about 7 years in Chicago.
Wow.
You were on reserve for, that's just like not even a life.
So reserve means that basically you're on call.
You were on call, waiting.
Absolutely. Michelle, we've gone far longer than we probably should here, but I think that all of the folks listening on the radio will find that this was fascinating radio. Thank you for coming and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
A little bit of time with us.
Once again, thank you, Michelle Buckles from B92.5, The Bull, one of our sister stations. She's on every afternoon from 11 to 3. Check her out. Coming up next, Instagrammable California with Nick Valenzuela. It's hashtag travel. Next on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride on this one and only train.
We can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get to see the sunrise. You can travel by road, you can fly by plane, you can take a ride on this one and only train. We can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get to see the sunrise.
You found the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's time to bring back our buddy Nick Valenzuela. And we call it hashtag travel. And why do we do that, Mark?
Well, we call it hashtag travel because Nick's a young guy. And he's,
and we're not.
And we're not. Yeah, good point. Well, the idea is that we have listeners of all ages on this program. We want things that interest all types of people, all demographic segments, and Nick is here to help some of our younger listeners find some things that are interesting about the Travel Guys. So, Nick, you went off and did Instagrammable California. This is really kind of cool. And before anybody over the age of 40 tunes out, let me just tell you that Nick's pictures are on TravelGuysRadio.com. And you're going to hear about them, and some of them are really spectacular. Nick, you took to the road to figure out the most photogenic spots in the state. Tell us a little bit about your road trip.
Well, thanks once again for having me back, guys. It's always a pleasure to get to chat with you. I spent the last 2 months really searching for what I found to be the core of why young people travel right now. At the core of a useful life is this social media craze right now. Why do young people travel? They want to share their experiences with the rest of the world via social media. So I spent the last 2 months going all through California, that's my home state, looking for the most interesting Instagrammable places in the state, and came up with a pretty interesting list here.
Tell us about some of these spots that you found here on your list. And again, TravelGuysRadio.com, you can find Instagrammable California. You can click on it. You can follow along if you like, or if you're out driving around, you can take a look at these later on. Nick, your most historical spot on your list here at the top is Bodie State Park, the old preserved in a state of arrested decay ghost town in the Eastern Sierras. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, Bodie is a really, really interesting place. It gives you a taste of what California would have been like during the boom, the gold rush. Like you had stated, is a ghost town. It stood exactly the way that you would imagine an old west town would be. It really takes you back to what you can imagine would be life here before the glitz and glamour of Silicon Valley and Hollywood and all these other things we come to associate California with. And it was really just a cool place to kind of feel like you're a part of history, get to touch things that are much older than you are, and really just find yourself away from what you kind of conceptualize California as.
Next on your list is Death Valley National Park. That's a place that has, it's a really a photographer's haven because there are a lot of unique places there.
Death Valley is really different than anything I think I've ever encountered in my life. You can find yourself walking around and imagine yourself on Mars, and that wouldn't be a very far stretch of the imagination. The Mesquite Flat sand dunes, specifically in Death Valley, are straight out of a mummy movie. You feel like you're in ancient Egypt walking around in these sand dunes, and you can see the mountains sort of cascading over the horizon, and you really feel like you're on a completely different planet, place, and you're in the middle of the desert in California, and you're a couple hours drive from Hollywood Boulevard, and you know, it's a really, really fascinating place to kind of find yourself in it, and it showcases to you how diverse and beautiful the California landscape really is.
You picked Fern Canyon in Prairie Creek Redwoods State Park as your most whimsical spot.
Fern Canyon is a sort of unknown commodity up there in the Humboldt County area. When you walk through, there's these fern groves that sort of overtake you as you walk through this canyon area, and you feel like you're about to see a dinosaur walk past you. They actually filmed Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World there. It's one of the most beautiful natural places I've ever encountered in California. And that whole area up in Humboldt County is really something special that I think is sometimes lost in the focus of Bay Area, Los Angeles, of what California represents. So it's a really, really awesome, whimsical, like I had stated, place there.
You liked Hearst Castle.
Well, Hearst Castle is really California royalty at its core there. We don't have our kings and queens out here, but William Randolph Hearst was a famous newspaper mogul who built this amazing castle and really just grounds near San Luis Obispo in a small town called San Simeon. Perched up on a hill, you're overlooking the Pacific Ocean, just grandeur at its most extreme. And walking around the grounds there was amazing. Just the picture that should be on the website gives you a little snippet and taste of just what a photograph could be. And if you're looking for those likes there on Instagram, yeah, definitely something there is gonna find your way to those likes with enough hashtags and what have you.
Nick, you call it the most remarkable, the Avenue of the Giants. So was this your first visit there?
Yes, it was. The Avenue of the Giants was something that I had to research online. This is probably my favorite out of the entire list. What it is it's essentially a stretch of Highway 101, once again up in Humboldt County. And you drive down this little stretch of Highway 101, and there are just the biggest redwood trees you've ever seen. And it's the most majestic, beautiful, remarkable stretch of highway I think this entire state has, which is saying a lot, being that California is so big. It's something that has to be seen to really be appreciated. The picture, once again, is going to be posted.
Our guest is Nick Valenzuela. It's called Instagrammable California. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see all of these magnificent pictures, and they really are quite spectacular. Nick really went to a lot of effort to pick out the most Instagrammable places in California. Go to travelguysradio.com. You can click on it and see it there. Nick will be back with us next Sunday for the second half of this presentation, which includes Yosemite National Park and Golden Gate Bridge, the famous Hollywood, the iconic Hollywood sign in Los Angeles. Nick, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys, an Easter Sunday edition. Thomas, you have a good week, and all of you out there, remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock, for another edition of the Travel Guys.